ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch
out! Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It's October 1st, 2012, and Olympia weekend is officially in the bag, and I am packing once again on 2 hours' notice to go to India, New Delhi specifically, to cover the Shuru Classic next weekend. So we are in a very abbreviated Heavy Muscle Radio show here. Chris, welcome back. I know you're going to be in Europe for the better part of October, so we are just kind of repacking our bags, so to speak, this week.
It's crazy. Speaking of, what a weekend it was. But yeah. Speaking of the Shuru, I got a call today from Masoom Butt, and he wants to make sure that he hooks up with you and have you take a look at him when he's there.
Now, I was going to make Masoom Butt, who's a Pakistani bodybuilder, my tour guide of India, but I don't know. I don't know if the Pakistanis and the Indians get along. I don't think they do.
Not really, but the Indians will make him, the local hero because, he is technically next door. India and Pakistan were one. He speaks the language. It's hard to tell, a Pakistani from an Indian.
You know what the truth is?
You and I would have a hard time, yeah. But, they may be able to know.
The truth is that bodybuilding, and I was saying this to someone the other day, really doesn't have racial boundaries. It's such a...
Very true.
I don't ever see race being a problem. I mean, maybe some people would say that one, but I have never seen a race issue. If anything, it's the whites are the minority in bodybuilding. So we get, probably the worst treatment. But I think that black, white, Asian, Indian, everyone seems to be, friends. Yeah. I've never seen a racially, a racial argument or any kind of a confrontation in that sense. And I'm proud to say I'm part of this community because of that,
Yeah, I've heard people say he's flat, he's fat, he's a water buffalo, but I've never heard anyone say he's holding tons of water and he's black.
Yeah, exactly. We might say black guys don't have calves or Asian people have great calves, but those are just genetic stereotypes. They're not racial stereotypes. Right? I mean, they're not societal stereotypes.
Yeah, we mark you down based on bad body parts. People, we just discriminate based on the way your body looks, not what color it is. It's terrible. We're bodybuilding critics are, they're very critical. We are critical.
That's what
the
we're
audience,
paid to do.
Judges, it's a game of inches. But when it comes to you're right. When it comes to race, you nailed it. It's great.
Yeah, I really am. Like I said, there's not many things that you could be too proud of in our industry because it's such a very egotistically driven industry. But in that sense, racially speaking, I think we're very liberated, and I think that people could probably learn from us. Let's talk about
ego,
this.
I got a headache from this weekend.
You do?
Of ego, but
I had a headache from this weekend because I think I had too much to drink Saturday night, and I actually lost my voice yesterday. I was barely worried. I actually came back on the red-eye flight on Sunday night, and I got an earlier one, luckily. I got to the airport, and they actually said, there is an earlier flight back to New York. Would you like to take it? So I figured, yeah, all right, I'll get this way. Instead of getting back at 7 in the morning, I'll get back at 5 in the morning, which would give me a little bit more time, seeing that I have to leave for India tomorrow. And I got on it. I said, all right, I selected it on the computer screen. And then they said, oh, it's $50, by the way, And they didn't tell me that initially, why they had to charge me $50 when there was just an early flight with open seats. But you know what? I said, screw it. I'm taking it because $50, you can't put a price on time. And I needed that time.
That's
actually,
right. So. It's the only thing you got, really.
I took it.
It technically, it's the only thing you have. But I know your schedule. You have no time.
I took the flight. I got on the flight. And then I see Joe Palumbo walking down the aisle, and he looks at me. He's like, look, and he shows me his boarding pass, and his boarding pass was in my name, and it said Dave Palumbo on it. So I pulled my boarding pass out, and my boarding pass was in his name. I just realized I never had really taken a good look at it. So they screwed up. They swapped our boarding passes, but which was good because I wanted a window seat, and he wanted an aisle. So it all worked out pretty well on that flight.
So long as you were in first class and what you deserve.
Yeah, I wish I Aaron flies first class. I fly like steerage, with the animals in the back. Because Aaron has traveled so much all over the world, and he'll take 14 connections to make sure he goes on United Airlines so he can get his points.
Sure.
Whereas I'll just take the most pleasurable flight, you know, or the cheapest flight, or the one that's the most legroom. He doesn't care. Like I said, I will not make a connection. He'll make 500 connections. You know, it just doesn't matter to him. So. Good for him. He's always sitting in first class now. He gets on. He has preferred boarding.
I have to say, I think Aaron becoming a father has changed his, I think, the wrap-up of the Mr. Olympia. I was, ask Aaron when he comes, I was staring at him like a zombie, because everything out of his mouth, not all of it I agreed with, but he was, his critique of the show was fabulous.
Yeah, it was good.
Perfect.
And he was trying to be combative, he told me, so I think that worked well.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Well, he's usually combative with you, so I didn't know if he was...
Well, he figured he wanted to give us some strong opinions, and he got me. Yeah. He convinced me to wear the suit. I have to give him credit for that. So I brought my suit.
Oh,
and
you guys
I wore
look
the,
great.
You had Guru shirt on, so that was kind of good.
Yeah. Well, Masoom was mad at me. You'll see him in India. He wanted to. He called me up in his Pakistani accent, and he said, "Mate, I want this shirt like that. I need one from Deep Palumbo."
Oh, he wants a red Guru shirt, or he wants a suit?
Yeah, I said. The one that says team technician, I said, someone gave it to me. I didn't have those made.
Yeah, I was telling people, you look like a referee from like an English soccer game, you know, with Jared and I with the two suits on.
Yeah,
okay. Well, it was a good weekend. You know, I have to say that it was one of the more exciting Mr. Olympia contests that I've ever attended, at least. And I want to just, before I forget, I want to just say thank you to Robin Chang. He really opened up his playbook for us and gave us, you know, the press passes we needed.
Yes.
And I thought he did a really good job. I thought it was very professionally run this year.
I agree.
I thought that the expo was bigger than it ever has been. So I know he's got to be happy. It was huge. I mean, it was like 2-3 football fields. It took me like 20 minutes to walk from one side to the other. And that was with no people in the arena. So, I got a lot of cardio in this past weekend and, you know, without even trying. And you know what? I didn't really predict when the Olympia is going to be, you know, competitive, but this happened to be one of the most competitive ones probably since the days of Ronnie and Jay going head-to-head, you know, in 2001 and 2003 and stuff like that. And it came down to a one-point decision when it was all over. And as everyone else out there probably knows by now, Phil Heath, you know, retained the title of Mr. Olympia two times in a row. Mm-hmm. Kai Greene broke down and cried, had to settle for second place. And all was good in the world. Chris, do you think that was the right decision? I know we've talked about it in the wrap-up. We said we thought it was. Let's break down a little bit what happened both on Friday night's prejudging and the Saturday night finals. Obviously, 50% of the score coming from both days.
Yeah, well, here's how I saw it. And when Phil, you know, I did the play-by-play. When Phil came out, you know, he's laughable, really. You know, he looks like a cartoon in every sense of the word. And he looks like he's there to dominate. But when Kai came out, obviously right off the bat, I thought he's in his best condition or very close to his very best, and he just looks fabulous, and he did what he needed to do, and this is by themselves. And when they started to compare him, I thought, okay, Kai's flat in the pecs on the quarter turns, and that's about it. But actually, at the end of prejudging, when all is said and done, I thought that Kai had him... and not by much, but I thought he had him enough where I could make the declaration, wow, Kaiser, he's got to be ahead, you know, by a smidgen, or, you know, I didn't think he was behind, you know, and
yeah.
it the cartoonish of Phil that comes out by himself when compared to Kai, you know, I didn't see it in the...
Well, yeah, you know what? Kai did bring, you know, a pretty impressive game to prejudging. Had a lot of people in that audience, and I think more than half saying that Kai was the winner after prejudging. Obviously, there was still the night show to come, which was 50% of the score. I know Aaron didn't think that, but there was enough people that came up to me that thought Kai. I know a lot of the guys backstage were like cheering for Kai, and he really seemed to have brought his A game to the prejudging. Although, you know, everyone talks about Kai Greene being such a great poser, and I'm probably one of the guys who propagates this. This story better than anyone because I love his posing. He's not a very good. He's not very good at executing the mandatory poses. He's not as technically correct as he probably should be, or either that, or he doesn't have as much confidence. When he's on his stage doing a posing routine by himself, he's in another world. He's in a class by himself, and So I thought he did enough to win that prejudging round. At the night show, obviously, Phil came back better, fuller, harder. Kai came back flatter. And to me, mentally flatter. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, it's not accurate. It's dead on. The way I saw the night show is when Kai came out, but when Phil came out, he was clearly fuller. And when Kai came out, he was clearly like more sinewy, you know, like harder in the key areas. And but when they put them together at the end, what happened, I think, was that two things happened. One, Kai didn't have the confidence to project himself as I'm here to take this damn show.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he posed behind Phil in the last, you know, that's the first thing we mentioned is Kai was standing like behind the, you know,
the center line. Yeah, he was a little, but there's a trick. A lot of people, let me explain this to the listeners out there. There's a trick on stage. Who's ever a little ahead, like if you're on the stage posing and if you're stepping, like if you have one step ahead of the other guy, visually, illusionarily speaking, you're going to look bigger than the guy. That's why if you ever see Flex Wheeler take a picture, he always steps up a little bit on people so his arm looks bigger. And he did that on stage a lot. He was a master of doing that with Ronnie because Ronnie always was bigger in size. Phil stepped up on Kai and Kai kind of stepped backwards and it made Kai's impressive size, because he definitely is bigger than Phil, look not as impressive. And I don't know why Kai wasn't picking that up or wasn't moving up a little bit, but I felt like Kai was disconnected a little bit to the posing aspect of it. I don't know if that was because he was nervous. I think he really was. I think Kai really deep down wants to be Mr. Olympia so strongly. I mean, that he has devoted his life, obviously, to it. And when they announced Phil as the winner, you can see Kai visually, you know, tears came. I think Kai was crying more than Phil was, and Phil won the show. So I can understand it. I think that that's going to be a big obstacle for Kai to go from the second spot to the first spot. And really, isn't really, Chris, that what defines a champion? The guy who can push hard enough, both physically and mentally, in order to take the title?
Absolutely. You know, it's two unbelievable athletes, and you know, it's you know, being Mr. Olympia is, I mean, we said this in the pregame show coming into it, is, you know, how is Phil going to look? And, you know, when you train as Mr. Olympia, you know, a lot of people have told me this who have won Mr. Olympias, when you win it, you know, it's not like one of these things you take for granted. You work hard to represent it, meaning you want to improve your body. And, you know, I think Phil's mentally mature, I think, you know, meaning...
Absolutely.
I think he knows his place, you know what I mean? And he understands that people are out to get him.
He also, you got to remember that Phil's a Division I basketball player, so he knows what it's like to be in very stressful game situations where you have the games on the line. He traveled a lot with the basketball. You know, he's been an athlete his whole life. Kai Green has never competed in sports. You know, he doesn't, you know, all he knows is bodybuilding, and bodybuilding is not a good representation of having a strong mindset when you have to go week after week. Sometimes Phil would have three games a week, you know, he was saying at the press conference, and that's a lot of pressure. And I think Phil matured because he was an athlete his whole life and played different sports. And I think that Kai doesn't have that mindset. And I don't know how you get that mindset. I don't know. You know, it's weird. We talk about, you know, sports psychologists, and, you know, it sounds so hokey to the average person, but you know what I mean? You're at that elite level, you know, where there's money on the line and where it's the best of the best in the world. You know, I would look into that if I were Kai, because I think he needs that to have a stronger mindset. You know, he likes to pride himself on being very philosophical, but that doesn't mean you're a strong mindset. It just means that you're a thinker. So sometimes thinking too much.
Sometimes being a thinker
could destroy
sometimes
you.
Being a thinker is not a good thing. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes when a general's in war, he's just either got a, you know,
instinct,
nuke him or not. You know, he can't think 45 different options to drop in a nuclear bomb.
Well, I was very impressed with third place finisher Sean Roden, who you were in his camp helping him out. He had won the two pro shows earlier this year. Well, not even earlier, just a few months ago in Dallas at the Europa Super Show, and then he won the Tampa Pro. A lot of people thought that, yeah, here's a great guy with great talent and great shape, but he'll never be able to break that top five at the Olympia. He's not big enough. Well, Sean Roden proved everyone wrong, because he not only, you know, placed third, but he defeated guys, veterans, guys that he would, you know, could barely stand next to last year, guys like Dexter Jackson and Branch Warren and Dennis Wolf and Tony Freeman and Evan Santapani. So talk to me about Roden's mindset here. Where does Roden go from here? I know he's going to Europe to compete in three European tours there, European shows, and I think that he has a very good chance of winning those. But does Roden go back to the drawing board and put more size on, or does he go to the Arnold Classic?
Yeah, well, first, you know, before I butt in with that, I just wanted to say, can you imagine, I won't mention them by name, that a supplement company had him under contract and they dropped him before his two wins and then this.
I know, it's pretty crazy.
Talk about selling a stock when it's on its rise.
Yeah, it's not a very
But anyways, he's focused. I mean, you know what? Sean Roden doesn't listen to noise. I mean, I love the noise, but I don't listen. It doesn't affect me. If someone talks bad about me or says, it's just part of the, you know, it's part of the game. And if with Sean, you know, he never conceptualized the idea of, you can really crack the top eight this year. You know, the conversation I had with him is, if so-and-so are not at their best, you can land as high as third.
Right.
And that was the idea coming in. And, you know, he didn't, I'm going to get third and smoke these guys. It was just, okay, if that's the goal, you know, if I can land in the top three and be in the first call out, I'll be thrilled. The whole goal for him was to be in the first call. And I think if the judges could put him in the first call by default, he'd beat a lot of people.
Mm.
And I think that's what happened. You know what I mean?
Well, he certainly beat a lot of people because he beat everyone but Kai Greene and Phil Heath. So he's got to be thrilled. And I think that the momentum he's going to carry into this European tour of the British Grand Prix, the Arnold Europe, and the Prague show in the Czech Republic, I think this is going to be, this might put him on the map, especially not only domestically, but internationally.
Yeah, no, he's excited about it. And, you know, I'm going to those shows with him, and I don't want to go. the reason I'm going is because I live my life this way all the time. Listen, I'm making it about me, Sean Roden. Is, you know, if I can help, I can help. But I don't want a bodybuilder to look back and say, geez, had I competed in those shows that year, you know, I might have won all those shows. So the conversation was, you know, can you go? And I said, well, yeah, if anything I can do to help. Imagine if you had won all three. Think of the momentum.
Yeah. Well, Sean Roden also won $75,000, which is probably the most prize money he's ever won on anything. So I have to imagine that
he was on the Price Is Right. He won the he was on Price Is Right once and won a car.
He was
$25,000. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, you never know. You get these weird things. You know, I don't know. But what I'm saying is though that the money is obviously going to help finance his European tour. You know, it's weird because you would think that the promoters would want to have this guy out there and they would fly him out there. But I don't know if that's how it works anymore. It used to be.
Yeah.
Dexter Jackson, fourth place.
Yeah. Dexter.
That has to be a tremendous comeback for the Blade. It's funny because Dexter Jackson, and we've said this a million times in the past, all he has to do is show up in shape. If he's in shape, he will beat guys that are not in shape, that are a little off, because he just has the amazing conditioning, the muscle separation, the flow. He's not the biggest guy on stage. He's not the craziest guy on stage, but he has balance. And I think the judges love the balance. And when there's guys that are unbalanced and Dexter's in shape, he will beat them.
And that's how it panned out. Because when during the prejudge, and when he came out, the minute he came out, you recognized, you know, he's got lots of separation. And that separation is going to look big next to guys who either aren't at 100% or against guys who are big and they don't flow like him.
Let's analyze this, though, for a second, Chris. Let's go three up and three down from Dexter's placing. Dexter was fourth. Three up is Phil Heath, Kai Greene, Sean Roden. Great shape, great size, great conditioning. Can't beat them. Let's go three down. Branch Warren, Dennis Wolfe, Tony Freeman. Branch Warren's legs look small. Yep. Dennis Wolfe has no lower leg from the back and has no calves. Yep. Tony Freeman wasn't in the condition needed to be in the glute and hamstring area. Dexter beats them on conditioning and balance. So,
yes.
I mean, he is the guy. He's like the middle guy there. You can't let this guy loose. You can't give up anything to this guy because he will beat you every single time. That's why you and I were kind of miffed that Dexter was coming in out of shape last year a lot at the shows we saw him at, because he was giving up, you know, ideal opportunities to beat these guys. He could compete for another 5 years, as far as I'm concerned, as long as he can come in shredded.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what he weighed, because, not that weight matters, but just as a representation of See, you don't have to weigh a lot to look good when you complete. You have the balance, like you said, and the condition.
He was the smallest guy in the top 10, for sure.
Put it this way. If he goes to Europe, which I expect, he can beat Roden if Roden's not on because, right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Dexter has the ability to get better show to show.
And they like him in Europe, too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Branch Warren. What happened to Branch Warren? I'm going to give you my assessment, but I want your assessment first. What went wrong? Branch Warren was talking like he was going to win the Olympia. You know, everyone was saying top two. He had to settle for fifth. I don't even think he deserved fifth, personally. What was your assessment of Warren's condition and how he looked?
He was so off enough that I would have no clue. Meaning, if someone's close and you'd say, well, he was holding water. Or if someone's like really full but holding water, you'd say, well, he overcarbed. Or if they're flat but sliced, you'd say he didn't carb enough. It wasn't like he was full nor hard.
Yeah, he wasn't like his usual shredded self. And you know what? When I saw his legs from the front, which are usually insanely freaky, I didn't see it. I saw a lot of the defects from his quad tear. That's all I saw in that one right leg, which it weren't as apparent at the Arnold for some reason. Now, it could have been that the competition wasn't as good here, but he kind of looked blocky at the waist to me. He looked almost overcarbed, dare I say. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think if someone like that's overcarbed, they're going to almost end up looking, you know, small because, you know, they don't, you know, it doesn't look like, you know, they don't have the crazy tie-ins that you know, Phil Heath has, for example.
Right, because he doesn't have good shape.
So, yeah. So, you know, he's just got to be, unfortunately, like 110% every show, or he's going to land at these crazy big shows, fifth, sixth, and seventh. That's the way, you know, Tony Freeman in shape would have absolutely moved ahead of Branch all day long.
Yeah, I think Tony missed a great opportunity to place in that top five again. And I don't know if he would have beaten Dexter, but he might have. Because he has the shape and the symmetry. He just doesn't bring the conditioning level. And, you know, I don't know what it is. Tony, look, you know, age plays a part. And I know Tony explained to me, and I agree with him. He doesn't have deeply separated glutes. However, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't see the very faint line of those. So he still has some body fat that he's dealing with there. And the problem is when he diets too hard to get off that body fat, sometimes it diminishes his upper
lose
body
the
a little
pecs.
Bit. Yeah, so
yeah, lose the pecs and arms.
You know, look, for 46 years old, I think he's doing a pretty good job with himself to even place as high as he does. Dennis Wolf, I know you were very impressed when he came out. When we kind of broke him down a little bit and he started, you know, posing, we started to see those weaknesses again, the long torso from the back, the undersized hamstrings and glutes, the small calves. Was that the reason that he placed where he did? And let's face it, he still was sixth place at the Mr. Olympia. That's not a bad placing, but, you know, I think people expected more of him.
Yeah, I think I thought it through, and last year when he came out as opposed to this year, last year I was blown away because he was so blasting full. It was ridiculous. And then he turned around and he didn't have the condition from behind. This year, he wasn't blasting full, but he was in great condition. And when he's not in great – when he was in great condition, it's almost like he loses the wow factor that he has anyway, which is the crazy V tape or the cap delts, you know, his legs get crazy when he's full. At this Olympia, they were, you know, they were big still.
Yeah.
But they weren't crazy full. So he's, you know, it's a fine line for a lot of guys.
We saw him at the press conference, and he was very sucked out in the face. And we knew that he had to be in very good condition. But I know you had asked me, you already said to me, I hope he's not too flat. And that
too
was
flat,
the,
yeah.
Now, who worked with him?
We should have had our audio. We need to do the audio live from the press conference because I said he's going to be too flat, you know, because his face would look like he was, you know, out on a desolate island for a month.
which is usually a good sign. When you see Jay Cutler like that, you say, wow, this guy, we know Jay's in shape. But sometimes with Wolf, he does struggle with being full enough. And it's interesting. Now, looking at Tony Freeman, who lands in seventh here, you know, I'm looking at the pictures, and the guy's got such good shape. And it's just, I don't know. I know he was a little heavier than he normally is. You know, I saw in his face that he wasn't in shape. When I see his face is a little bloaty, I sign for him. The problem is when Tony sends pictures to people, like he was sending me pictures during the prep, he looks great in pictures because he photographs well. The guy's a good-looking guy, and he's got great structure. But the trick is, if you really want to help him, you got to see him in person almost, because the pictures will fool you a little bit. And I think that Tony just was not hard enough, because what happened was when he took the water out of himself, you saw the fat that was still there, and wasn't a good look for him. But look, he still manages to play seventh ahead of Evan Setapani, who was one of these guys that everyone was touting, you know, and I was one of his biggest, you know, advocators when he first came on the scene, that he would be, you know, battling Phil Heath for the Mr. Olympia title. I don't know what happened to Evan's physique, but his legs were bigger, I think, almost when he won Nationals. They looked small to me. I don't know if he's not training them right, or he's over dieting them, or doing too much cardio. I don't know what he's doing, because I don't help him anymore. But I still think he's got the structure that he can be battling Phil Heath for the Mr. Olympia title at some point in time. But evidently, he doesn't. Something's not working for him. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, I use the general example with you know, to overthink things, you know, like Kai maybe overthink things, and I think in Evan's case, he's dropping nuclear bombs all the time, meaning he's dropping nuclear bombs on his training, probably training, you know, I'll diet everyone, I'll cardio everyone, and that's the look that he had, which is you know, big and hard, but like just overdone.
Well, the legs were overdone. He has like almost no glute muscle left, and you know, when you have big legs, you need to have the glutes to balance them off. They were hard in the prejudging at night show. They kind of softened up a little bit. He probably tried to fill himself out, which is the worst thing you can do once you've been over dieted, is try to overeat, because you can't make that lost muscle up. Probably in 2 weeks, he's going to look like Mr. Olympia in the gym, I bet you, if he eats for another 2 weeks. But, you know, he did the same thing he did for the Arnold he did here. I think he made the same exact mistake, only maybe worse here.
Yeah, no worse here. He was flatter here. Too flat. Too flat.
So Evan's got to go back to the drawing board and figure out what he's doing wrong. And we also mentioned something about his presentation needs work, too. It's still looking a little amateurish. And I think that, you know, I was always very mechanical on stage, and it was very uncomfortable for me to pose. I'm like a memorizer. I have to memorize this, how things work, and then I have to work through it. The problem is that once you memorize how to do things, now you have to have this experience to actually act it out. For me, it was doing guest posings, probably between 2000 and 2004, when I stopped competing. I probably did, and this is no joke, Chris, I probably did 150 guest posing jobs. You know, I was going every weekend, like I travel now, because I would do seminars and I would do guest posing, and it made me so comfortable on stage that when I would actually get to shows, it was like a joke. I wasn't even nervous anymore, because I was so used to it. And if you look at guys like Phil Heath, Kai Greene, you know, these guys are Dexter Jackson, these guys are guests, Branch Warren, these guys guest post every weekend too. They're so comfortable on stage, and you can see that their presentation depicts that.
Yeah, no, I think his presentation, you're right, and you've hopped on it a lot, but, you know, I mean, obviously getting the body right is number one, but two, the presentation, you know, counts for a lot.
Yeah.
You know, the way you present yourself.
Absolutely. This is the first year Hidetada Yamagishi doesn't make the top 10, which I was shocked. You know, he looked really good, but it was a tough lineup.
He did look really good.
Johnny Jackson finished his ninth. Lionel Baiki was 10th, who arguably, I would have put Hide there probably, because Baiki, while he's got from the front standing there, he looks like he could win the Olympia, and then he turns around and he's just really soft, you know, from behind.
Yeah, he's getting wasting time, really. Meaning, you know, you got to do what you got to do when you're hot. And I think Lionel was the most hyped bodybuilder coming into the Flex Pro, you know, as a potential Arnold winner. And you and I talked about it. I thought he was way too soft at the Flex Pro. Although he looked good, you know, he looked good because he looks good, because he's round and he's got the shape. And at the Arnold, he was softer, and he was still softer here.
Yeah, I would have had Hide in that 10th spot, probably.
Me too. Yeah.
You could even make a case. You could even make a case for Ruly Winkler, because Ruly Winkler looked really good, too. He was a little flat.
Yes, he did. He looked like he did in Finland. A little flat, but Hide is, you know, I felt bad for him because he was squashed in the first compulsories when everyone came out between Heath and Kai. But as crazy as those guys looked, he right between them.
Yeah.
So I figured, and he was really, really, really hard. And I figured, okay, he's going to be in the top 10, you know, second call out, second, third call out right there.
You know, I was talking to grandma, Ruli's grandma there, Sybil, who trains him. And she was showing me some pictures, and we were talking about what happened to Ruli, because I said, you know, it looked like his legs were down a little bit. And she was like, yeah, I was telling him to stand, you know, with his legs pointing out a little bit more. He wasn't flaring him. I said, but he looked down in size. And she actually, you know, showed me off the record pictures of what he looked like when he went to Curacao for, like, you know, a couple months in the off season, but, you know, when she wasn't training with him. And the guy, like, lost like 20 pounds, you know. I don't know if he wasn't training or what he wasn't doing, but so he had to come back from being 20 pounds down, which really didn't give him the ability to put on any new muscle. She did do a good job with getting him in shape this year, but he was certainly down in size, and I think Ruli's got to spend the whole year putting size back on. He should not do the Arnold. He should take off a good 8 months, pack on enough mass, and I think if he comes back, he could definitely, you know, be a threat. I think he's just not holding enough muscle mass at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's got the potential to hold a ton of muscle, and you and I know that even if he was a little off, but packed with muscle, he'd place higher than he does here.
Yeah, I agree. 212 showdown. Flex Lewis, new champion. So we got three champions in the history of the event. David Henry won the first one, then English won the next couple, and now we have Flex Lewis in there as the champion, defeating an arguably fantastic David Henry. You know, a lot of people thought that David Henry, who finishes in second, was going to win this thing based on the way he looked. Now, we never suspected he would look this great after seeing him at the Dallas Europa Super Show, but he really came back and showed us that he was able to put the muscle on. He was able to bring the conditioning. Good decision, bad decision?
I mean, it's a livable decision. It's a bad decision if you're David Henry. I mean, I can make the argument for David Henry. I can make the argument for Correa, and I can make the argument for Lewis. You know, but out of those three arguments, the one I would personally that I have the tougher time making the argument for is Lewis. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I said this too after the wrap up. I said that at the wrap up, I should say, I felt that all four of those guys, you could make an argument for them winning.
Yeah.
I do like Lewis. I like his presentation. He looks very professional on stage. He's probably got the most professional presentation. His posing is beautiful. He knows how to display what he's got. So he, in a sense, he maximizes the tools that he's got to work with. He's got the best legs on stage. There's no doubt about that. His upper body is still, it's almost caught up, but it's still a little behind. He's got a good small waist. He hits the good twisting back shots. And you know what? I think he wowed the judges into the win. I truly believe that. I think that he posed his way to that win. And you know what? It's happened to other bodybuilders before. I've seen Flex Wheeler win shows that you didn't think he deserved to win. It's about how you display your physique. And you know what? I have to say that, you know, Jose, while looking like a little freak on stage, is short, and he doesn't necessarily have the aesthetics of or the ability to display his aesthetics as well as Jose, as Flex Lewis. Correa, who's arguably the biggest guy and the hardest guy on stage, and you figure based on that he should be the winner, doesn't have the flow to his physique that maybe a Flex Lewis does. And you know, when I have to figure out how the judges came to the decision, I think that Flex Lewis posed his way to the win.
I think that is an absolutely brilliant, brilliant explanation, because I don't have a problem with any of those four guys winning. And I've the way you just explained it, you know, I can't make a knock against Flex Lewis. He looks great. He's got balance. I mean, I don't think he lost the show, and I don't think he won the show, but I can see him winning the show based on the way you just explained it.
And you know, I love David Henry's physique. I think he's got a beautiful physique, too, but. You know what? When I look at him on stage next to these guys, next to Correa and next to Lewis, he looks small. You know?
Yeah. You know what? You know when he came out, I thought when he came out and did his mandatories by himself, I said this is nuts.
Yeah.
He's so thick and hard. But when he gets compared, he kind of loses the. I mean, he doesn't lose the thickness, but it's not as impressive as when he's by himself.
I agree 100%, and I think that's how it went down, and I don't have any problem with that, you know, because of and unless you're there in person, it's hard to tell too. You know, people are going home and they're looking at pictures. You know, pictures don't really tell at all. You got to see
pictures
these guys
never
on stage.
Really tell at all. Yeah.
So let's. I just want to just mention some of the other classes just briefly. I don't have time to go over everything, but Iris Kyle repeats as Miss Olympia easily. winning her eighth tie to Murray for the record. I suspect that she'll probably get the record next year. I'm pretty much convinced that she's going to get at least 10 wins. I think she might not want to compete after that, but I think she's got 10 in the bet. I think she could definitely do 10. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. After seeing her, yeah, I would. It's like she just strikes me as somebody who loves bodybuilding, loves being Miss Olympia, and will, you know, train as hard and as long as it takes to improve.
Yeah, I just hope they continue to have the Miss Olympia. You know, that's the only thing that can stop her from the record is if they cancel the Miss
Olympia. 10.
Yeah, yeah. Debbie Leshefsky moves up to second place spot, which is got to be fantastic for her. I know she's thrilled. I interviewed her. I haven't even put up any of the winter interviews. I mean, the interviews that I did, because that's how busy we've been. And she was happy. Obviously, Yoxani Arcoin has to settle for third. She's not happy. Alina Popper in fourth, Brigitte Brezhevec in fifth, and Sheila Black finished out that top six. So congratulations to both all those girls. Adela Garcia wins her seventh Ms. Olympia. Oksana Grishina, who is the person I had picked to win, just did not bring the physique that she needed to. I mean, she wasn't even in the first call-out, Chris, and she still manages to play second just based on her routine. So that just tells you how good this girl's routine is. So imagine if she would have been in third or fourth in the physique round, she might have won the Olympia. So, but I have to say, Adela looked the best I've seen her. She pulls out all the stops. She is the most professional person in that division.
Yeah, no, she is. It's her curve. Her physique is, it's hard to beat, you know?
It's just her work ethic. She doesn't leave details open. She takes advantage of everything she has to work with.
Yeah, I mean, that's, what better, you know, physique person, bodybuilder, fitness person is there to work with than somebody who likes to leave no stone unturned?
And she's still doing it at 40 years old. She still has the fire inside her. So that's, you got to take your hat off to her.
Amazing.
In the figure division, we see a new crown champion. Erin Stern regains the figure Olympia crown, defeating Nicole Wilkins, who a lot of people felt should not even have been in the top five given her conditioning level. Look, this girl, Nicole Wilkins, is probably one of the best looking girls that I've seen in a very long time in our sport. And I know it's like you almost root for her. You want to see her win because she's that good looking and you want her to represent our sport. But you can't reward a girl just because she's, you know, beautiful and has a nice structure if she's not in shape. Because this is, after all, a physique division. So I think the judges made the right decision. I would have put her lower, but I know the judges don't like to knock the Mr. Olympia or the Ms. Olympia or the Ms. Figure. They don't like to knock them down too low. So they want to keep the rivalry there. They put her second. Candace Keene arguably could have been second place here. She finishes in third, and I know she's thrilled. And they're going to all these people, by the way, going to have a week at the Charoux Classic. So the figure lineup will be there. The men will be there. The 212 will be there. I don't know who's going from the 212, but they'll be there. And then in Bikini Olympia, Nathalia Mello, who I know is your favorite. Chris, a lot of people don't think that you watch Bikini, Chris, but you actually have told me multiple times that you like Nathalia Mello as the Bikini, to be the Bikini champion. She finally wins. She's got a lot of second places. She emerges as the new champion here, defeating the reigning champion, Nicole Negrani. India Paulino finishes in third. Our Muscle Girls co-host, Diana Dahlgren, finishes in fourth, who I thought looked probably the most ravishing that lineup.
Yeah. She, you know what she reminds me of? She's like the contract girl. I mean, if a supplement contract, a company, if you got 10 companies sitting in the audience looking at the show, you know, 7 or 8 of them would say, hey, we should get that girl under contract.
Yeah. She does. She's the motocross girl. She's like to the, you know, remember Pamela Anderson was like the tool girl on the home. She's like that for motocross. She goes to all the events every weekend. They fly her in and she, you know, sells the motocross gear. I don't know. She's
there you go. So I was wrong about the supplements. It's all in the motocross.
Yeah. She's making more money probably with that. Jamie Baird finishes in fifth, and Sonia Gonzalez, who had won the figure international, she has to settle for sixth place here. A lot of people thought she should have been out of that top six. I happen to agree with that, even though I do like Sonia. She was pretty much not in shape to be up there. So all in all, it was a great weekend in Las Vegas. We did a lot of stuff outside the box as well as inside the box, as I like to say, Chris. And I had a good time hanging out with you, and we went for a lot of sushi. Oh, actually, you were kind of sequestered with Sean Roden all weekend. I really didn't see much of you.
I was booked, you know, room on occasion to Correa's room, to Roden's room, and I roomed with Farnsworth. So it was like a was like a college dorm.
I actually got Farnsworth to work on my shoulder in the Meet the Olympians. We videotaped.
You must feel great.
Yeah, well, he didn't do a lot of it. I just did it kind of for the camera. But yeah, I had a rib head out, and it was driving me nuts the whole plane ride. And he popped it back in, and he saved my life for the weekend. So thank you to Derek Farnsworth there. You got your money. I got my money's worth out of you, at least. Uh-huh. And yeah, I know you want to play this game. We were talking about it before. We always have fun with it. Yep. And it's called Rate the Guru. Okay.
Oh, Rate the Guru. Let me get my score sheet ready.
Get your score sheet out. Okay. There was a lot of gurus in this lineup helping men's competitors. We're not going to go into the women's competitors. I helped a few women, but I will talk about just the men. We have Chad. We have Chad Nichols, Hani Rambod, George Farah, you, Chris Aceto, the technician, and of course, Dennis James. So those are the... those are our five gurus.
Gosh,
that we have.
Every single competitor almost had a guru. So yeah. James had, okay, got it.
I'm going to go person by person, and then we're going to give them a rating, A through D, or A through F, I should say, okay? Let's start with Chad Nichols, who helped Ben Pakulski, who was at the press conference, was being very bold in his statements, and he said he was going to, you know, beat Branch, and that he had better legs than Branch, and he was going to make the top five, and he was probably a great disappointment after all the hype. Chad Nichols with Ben Pakulski, what do you give him? What score?
D.
D. I'd say, yeah, C minus D, absolutely.
Well, I was going to give him a C minus or C, but for the way Ben looked, but at the same time, you know, Ben had the big talk, so my expectation was an A, so I had to,
gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Got to mark him down.
The bar was set up, so.
You got to mark him down. Hani Rambod, let's go Hani. Hani had Lionel Baiki, who finishes 10th. What do you give him?
Yeah. A D on
Yeah, that was a pretty, yeah, that was a D. Bill Wilmore, who I thought looked...
C.
Yeah, I would even give Bill Wilmore a B. I just think that you can only do so much with Bill Wilmore's physique, you know, in this type of a lineup. I give him a B with Wilmore. And Phil Heath, obviously, we got to give him an A-plus on
A
that
plus.
One.
All right. A-plus.
All right, so...
A-plus. Are we going to drop the high and the low?
No, we'll have to average him out. We'll see who has the best average. George Farah, okay, he helped Kai Greene. What do you give him on that?
A-plus.
I give him an A on that. Okay.
Yeah, A plus.
You only get an A plus if the guy wins the show.
Oh,
you
can't win. Okay, got it.
So you give him an A on that. Branch Warren.
Yeah. D.
C minus. I give him on that. Dexter Jackson.
I'm somewhere in the A marks for
maybe
that.
Maybe an A minus.
Dexter,
maybe on that.
A B. You know, A minus. Yeah.
A minus. And Fred Smalls.
I can't remember. So maybe a D if I couldn't remember.
C. I'll give him a C. All right. Let's do the technician, Chris. Let's do Dennis James first, who helped Dennis Wolf.
What will you give him?
I give him a B+.
I do too. You know, I wanted to see what you thought first because I wasn't sure because I liked his condition, but you know, I feel bad that I don't feel bad, but you know, Dennis Wolf is. It's just tough to bring him in.
You know,
it's got to be big and hard.
Right. But the problem is Dennis James can't give the guy more muscle where he needs it. He can only get him in shape. So sure. I think he did B+.
Excellent point.
Chris, the technician, Aceto, who helped, I think, the most people here. We have Jose Raymond in the 212, which I would give you an A on.
Okay.
Thought he looked great. Derek Farnsworth.
Yeah.
I guess I have to score because you can't really score yourself. Derek Farnsworth, I would have to give you a. I've seen him better. I'm going to give you a B minus on that one.
Okay.
Sean Roden, I give you an A on, and Eduardo Correa, I give you an A on. So,
what's the prize? I think I won.
I think you won. You win. You get to change Asher Singerman's diaper the next time you are in Florida. That's what you win.
Okay.
You get to go
and a prize. Bring me back something from India.
You get to cheat on you get to cheat on your wife with Maria Shriver. How about that?
Oh yeah. Well, she knows about it. Just like you know, I mean, Maria Shriver knows everything, right?
Well, yeah. It's funny because Arnold Schwarzenegger was on the show, I guess 2020, and doing an interview. Actually, not 2020. He was on 60 Minutes. Excuse me. And he admitted on 60 Minutes, or he said that Maria knew about the fact that he was having affairs. And Maria Shriver's camp now is saying bullshit, that we didn't know anything about it. What do you think? What do you think? You think she knew?
You know, maybe she knew in this context. Maybe she didn't say, hey, go out and cheat on me. Go have an affairs. But I'm always bewildered when... I don't know. I would imagine that... You know, if you're married to someone like Arnold, and he, you know, she had to have known. But I don't know if he thinks that's approval, and, you know.
I think that she knew that he wasn't being faithful, but I don't think that she knew he was banging the housekeeper there and had a kid with him. I don't think that she knew that. But
yeah, okay.
I think that was a little too much.
Which 60 Minutes was it on, last night?
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing was that, you know, he wrote this in a book. He has a book called Total Recall coming out on Monday, probably today. And he talks about all this stuff in there. I don't understand what he's doing. I guess he figures, I'm not running for office anymore. I don't give a shit. I'm not married to Maria. We're getting divorced. But I don't know how this helps him at all. It's not like the guy needs the money or anything like that. I mean, does he want to chronicle his life? Is that why he's doing it? Well, I mean, what do you think the motivation is behind this?
I wouldn't know. Maybe it's a cathartic for him, or just, yeah, you know, maybe. It just gets out the information so that he doesn't need to address it going forward.
Right. It's confession.
And that he's honest about it. I mean, there's something to be said for, I mean, whether, you know, you quote, you got caught, or, you know, he's honest about his life, and people can judge him, you know, on his, you know, the mistakes he's made, but he's, you know, he probably looks at it this way. Look at all the good I've done, and, you know, of how I've affected people's lives for the positive, or my life, or his life, you know what I mean? And,
If I catch him at the Classic this next year, like I did last time, maybe I can ask him.
Yeah, you did have a 30-second. You what was the question you asked? You said Arnold.
Arnold, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. And he's like, I'm eating my buffet. You know, no, he had food in his mouth. He didn't want it. And
then maybe you can get the Arnold impersonator on Heavy Muscle Radio.
Ask him about the affair. You know, he also admitted to having an affair with Brigitte Nielsen, who is... you know, whom Sylvester Stallone was married to for a little while, and then Mark Gastineau was married to for a little while ago. She played Red Sonja in that movie. Remember? And she also, she was in the Rocky movie, Rocky 5, I think it was, or Rocky 4.
No, she's with Flavor Flav now.
She was hot back in the day, you know, and then she got a little older and she got busted up.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, Arnold, when he was filming Red Sonja, because he was in the movie as well, and he said they have a crazy affair. And I guess at the time, he was only dating Maria Shriver. He wasn't technically with her. And I think right after that movie, that's when Brigitte married Sylvester Stallone. So, you know, it was a very incestual type of relationship between them, you know. I'm sure they have plenty of stories to tell.
I'm sure they do. Well, when you know, you could think that maybe she's got a book coming out or something, or these people, you know, sometimes when you air your own dirty laundry, it's, you know, you preempt people from taking advantage of you.
Well, she actually did have a book that came out a while ago, and she talked about it in there. He just is basically confirming that was an accurate story.
Oh, okay.
So now I always have this is not really the dumb question of the month. This is an interesting question of the month. That I got. I wouldn't call it a dumb question because it is valid, but it's not one you hear often. So I'm going to just say it right now. Here's the question I got via email the other day. It's one of my clients. I have a question, Dave. I have 15 stab wounds and a cut down the middle of my abs. Will that affect me if I wanted to turn pro?
Are they fresh stab wounds?
No, he has 15 stab wounds. In other words, I guess he had been stabbed in the past, and he has a cut down the middle of his abs. I guess also he was sliced there.
Is he a gang member or a police officer?
I don't know. But the point is, will that affect him turning pro, Chris the Technician Aceto? That is the question I received.
It will affect him turning. Is he that good that he's on the cusp of turning pro?
No, I don't know. I just think he wants to know in general. I think it's. I told him, don't put any limitations ever on yourself, and that's the boss. I've seen people overcome crazy adversity. You know, never put it on.
Yeah, but a lot of these people who turn pro, they start out. You know, it's funny. Not many people start bodybuilding with the aspiration, I'm going to turn pro. You know what I mean? They just at some point they think, geez, you can turn pro, or you know, it's usually the freaky guys just training like crazy and loving it.
Well, some people they want to, you know, when you're very self-conscious about something on your body physically, Chris, you start thinking about, you know, will this affect how I, you know, my career? Will this affect, you know, even if you're not even at that point to even be considering it, it's something you think about. It's like the girl who has you know, a mole like in the middle of her freaking forehead. You know what I mean? I mean, she's got to think, is this going to affect my ability to find a husband at some point in my life? You know,
Nobody cares but her.
No,
it's ruining her life.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's. I want to talk about one more thing before we go. I mean, we have an abbreviated show this week, obviously, because I'm leaving for India tomorrow. But there's a new study, Chris, that came out that shows that whey protein isolate, as low as 20 grams per day of whey protein isolate, will lower blood pressure up to 5 to 7 points. Just by adding that to your diet, doing nothing else. Amazing?
It is amazing. It is amazing. What was a study in where?
He did a study. I don't know.
They'll come up with some negative. But what's the but? There's always a catch. If it's remotely protein or bodybuilding related, but.
Well, they're saying, you know, they always say, but you put strain on your kidneys. You know, they have the old protein on the kidneys, the bullshit, you know, that they like to come out with. But
protein
on
the kidneys versus,
It's amazing, though, when the study looked at people aged 20 through 70 who were clinically overweight. These are overweight people and had pre-hypertension, which means their blood pressure was about 130 over 85, somewhere around there, all the way up to 160 over 100. They gave the one group whey protein isolate, okay, and only 20 grams per day added to whatever they were already doing. They didn't want them to change anything. And the average drop in blood pressure was almost five, you know, points. And some of the people had up to 10 or 15 point drops, Chris. So that says something good for the bodybuilding lifestyle. Make sure you add your whey protein isolate to your regimen, and you can get species whey isolate.
I wanted to give that plug. Which one's the best tasting?
Look, you know
that's
what?
Yours.
You tell me. I can't tell.
Yours is the best tasting protein powder.
All right. I appreciate that. We actually have a new flavor coming out.
When I come to your house, what do I always say? I say, Dave, you have the best tasting protein powder.
Thank you. We have a new isolized flavor coming out probably in a couple months. It's going to be, it's outrageous. It's, I don't even know if I should say it. It's oatmeal cookie flavor. It's so good, Chris. I'm telling you, people. I thought the peanut butter flavor, our chocolate and vanilla peanut butter, was the best. This might be the kicker.
It's, yeah, peanut butter is my favorite.
Wait till you taste oatmeal cookie.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
It's going to be really good.
You have my mailing address. Send me a case.
I will. I'll send you a case before we even produce it. you'll have the prototype. Then I'm gonna be getting emails now for the next 2 months asking me when it's coming out.
I won't be able to get off my couch. My blood pressure will be so low.
That's right. I don't know. You see, that would have been interesting if they would have done a study seeing if more was better. You know, probably not. I'm sure, but. Scott Connolly always said 20 to 30 grams of whey isolate per day, you know, two times a day, is not only good for health purposes, but it actually helps you lose weight, body fat, because it stimulates, you know, the
protein synthesis.
Yeah, it stimulates the nutrient partitioning mechanisms in the body to build muscle, burn fat. And that's enough of a reason to add it to anyone's diet, I think. I have my dad do two shakes a day, although, you know what? He's had the same tub now for 2 months. I bet you he hasn't been using it. I have to check up on him. Since my aunt moved in, she's been cooking for him.
You need to come up with like chicken parmesan flavor for him.
Yeah. No, you know, he liked the flavor. The problem was my aunt, no one was living there with him, so he wouldn't cook for himself, so he would make whey protein shakes all day, which was actually, now my aunt's living there, she's cooking for him, he's eating meatballs and spaghetti again, which is probably, you know what, at 82, who gives a shit, really? I mean, what the hell you eat? As long as he's getting food in, that's what I'm looking at it from that perspective. Yeah. Well, Chris, I had a great time with you this weekend, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I guess I'm going to see you in Prague, Czech Republic, at the end of the month.
Yeah,
the 27th.
Going to meet you at customs. There's Dave.
That's right. And we'll have to do some. It'll be me, you, and Chewbacca there. So that's going to be a nice little tandem to finish off the year in Europe. There with you will be, of course, in England alone with Barry Stalker from our board covering the British Grand Prix. Aaron will be with you at the Arnold Amateur in Madrid, Spain, coming up in 2 weeks from today. And I will be with Aaron Chewbacca Singham in India this coming weekend at the Shrew Classic. I will have to sit with him on a flight for 14 and a half hours. Hopefully we will not kill each other. If I know Aaron, we'll probably be drinking a lot. A quick story. I'm going to talk more about this with Aaron. We went to the old part of the Vegas Strip this yesterday. Him, PJ, and myself. And we did some fun stuff. But we did this... I'll talk more about it with Aaron. We did the zip lining. It's like they have this like tethered metal cord, like the length of like three city blocks, basically. And it's like suspended like 100 feet over the street. And you can basically yeah, there's a cord that just attaches to it, and you just slide, basically. Like, it's like a fucking ride, basically. And they somehow convinced me to go on this thing. And I was so... My nervous system was so traumatized afterwards. I was shaking, you know, because I'm afraid of heights.
I would never dare to go. Never.
I don't know how I did it. I actually had a good time, Chris. It wasn't really bad because there was no drops or anything. It was just the fact that you were, you know, 100 feet up in the air. So afterwards, I had to have a drink. I had to drink something to calm myself down. Aaron can drink more alcohol than any human being I've ever seen. I don't know how he does it.
Oh, he's the Mr. Olympia of alcohol.
The guy has the tolerance of, I don't, and he doesn't drink a lot, you know, but he has unbelievable tolerance. I have, you know, one shot of vodka and I'm like, you know, I'm like tipsy.
Yeah,
he's like, toast. He needs to do 12 shots to feel the same thing that I feel.
Yeah, just to get up to speed.
Right. So I can only imagine what's going to happen on the airplane when we're flying to Shuru.
Well, you guys got to do some videos on the plane.
Oh, we will. We will. What I'm going to do is
the outtake.
Yeah, I'm going to videotape Kai Greene sleep talking. You know, because I think he's allowed. I think technically, according to his contract, we can tape him sleep talking because he's not consciously doing it. Right? Wouldn't that be acceptable?
Yeah, you can do some type of subliminal interview with him.
That's right. As long as he's not consciously interviewing with us, I think that's not a violation of his contract. Right.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
We'll have to check the wording. The
maybe
fine
the best,
part.
Maybe the best material that comes out of them all year.
Well, Chris, have fun with your weekend off with your family. We'll see you at the end of the month. I will be leaving for Shuru tomorrow. Well, I'll be back on Monday. Hopefully, I'll be able to get a radio show up. For now, though, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, Aaron Jubaka-Singerman, hopefully he's awake in Boca Raton, Florida.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting questproteinbar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out questproteinbar.com now.
Hey man, this is Mike Chain from Six Pack Shortcuts. If you want to build rip muscle fast, then I just posted a new video you've got to see. You can check it out at mikechainmusclebuilding.com. In that video, I'll show you why I never do traditional bodybuilding workouts anymore, and I'll show you the insane new style of working out I'm using instead called afterburn training. The reason why I like afterburn training is that it allows me to build lean muscle fast while still staying lean and ripped. So go to mikechainmusclebuilding.com now to find out how you can start building muscle faster. One more time, that's mikechainmusclebuilding.com. If you want to build rip muscle fast, then I just posted a new video you've got to see. You can check it out at mikechainmusclebuilding.com. I'll show you why I never do traditional bodybuilding workouts anymore to find out how you can start building muscle faster. One more time, that's mikechainmusclebuilding.com. I'll see you there.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the the web at GammaO.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. In bodybuilding.
RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up to the minute news and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with Aaron Jubaka Singerman, and my voice is slowly but surely disappearing. Aaron, I know you had a big flight ahead of you coming up tomorrow, 2:30. You'll be meeting me in Newark Airport, where we'll be flying to New Delhi, India for the Shuru Classic. Have you had any time to wash your clothes yet?
No, I got home and I have a long list of stuff to do, and I literally could not stay awake anymore because I didn't sleep on the flight, really. So
I didn't either. Isn't that weird? I couldn't fall asleep.
No, and it's a long flight, so we have plenty of time to sleep. So yeah. I couldn't do it. And so I got home. I slept for about 3 hours, and I woke up, and I could have kept sleeping right on through, but I knew that I had to get up and do this show, and I have a lot of stuff to do before I leave tomorrow, so here we are.
I actually got on an earlier flight. They gave me the option, so I got home at like 5:30 in the morning. So by the time I got home to my house, it was like 6:30, and I actually slept for 5 hours, so I don't feel quite as bad as you do. But there is a lot of stuff to get done the next 24 hours. But let's talk a little bit about the weekend. Chris and I wrapped up the show, so that's kind of like passé at this point. But we had some other fun stuff going on this weekend. We did a little gambling the first day we got there, and you and I were actually doing very well at the blackjack table, and we decided to take our winnings and dump it on black on the roulette wheel. Now, you know, I was never one to play roulette because I hate games of pure chance. At least blackjack, there's some skill involved in it whatsoever. And we blew it. We lost all our money for the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. This was your idea, just so I should let everybody know. It was your idea, and I put my winnings up there. You put your winnings, and we put it on black, and unfortunately, we lost.
Yes, and then I went back later that night, and I won it back, but unfortunately, when we left the party, the after party on Saturday night at the Encore Hotel, we decided to drunkenly gamble, which is the worst, probably the worst time to gamble when you're completely drunk, because then money has no value for you, and we blew another $200 in about 20.
Yeah, that was a very fast loss.
About
because
10 minutes.
That place, it had $5 tables, and that was the cheap table. So
We need to stay in
we
the
lost quick.
We need to stay in the ghetto hotels. Like no, we need to stay in the Orleans where there's the $10 tables. You know, I got to be honest with you. I know people were complaining about the new Orleans hotel, and a couple of people said to me they'll never stay there again. I actually do not mind the hotel. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been critical in the past of it. I don't mind it. It's right. It's convenient. It's right where the Orleans Arena is. I don't mind the rooms. They're nice. It's a little smoky, the hotel, but you know what? They got a good food area to eat. They have a sushi restaurant in the place. They have everything's open really late. You know, even the restaurants, not just the little diner part of it. And it doesn't bother me. I got to be honest with you. And I like the prices. The prices are reasonable. It makes it much more affordable for us as a company to operate there. And, you know, I think it's a smart move on Robin Chang's part. The Mandalay Bay was beautiful years ago, but you know what? I'm sure I didn't own a company back then. I'm sure it used to cost Metrics a fortune to put us all up there.
You know, I agree with you. And I do think it's a shitty hotel. And it's the atmosphere there is like old, you know, crippled people and smokers. And, you know, I don't really like the atmosphere. But the fact that everything is located in one place other than the expo is valuable, you know. And that does, that is a lot of redeeming quality right there. Because everything's right there. In the Orleans Arena is very nice. The actual venue for the show is very nice.
Really nice, yeah.
And that makes it all worthwhile. I certainly, like, if you said, Aaron, let's stay at the, I don't know, what's something not like ridiculously nice, but let's say at the Venetian, or let's stay at the Mandalay Bay, which was very nice. I've been there before for the Olympia. I would probably not want to do that because I wouldn't want to have to drive back and forth so many times.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a pain in the neck. Now, last year
People ask. They say, should I stay there? Like my buddy who came in stayed at the Aria, which is probably the nicest hotel. And he told me after the fact, he said that if he could do it again, he would probably have stayed at the Orleans. Is not particularly nice a hotel as it is. It would have been worth it to him to be there instead of having to drive and find parking.
I don't think necessarily. You know what? I'm gonna preface that. People who are in the show itself, people who are covering the show who have to be there, it's better to stay in the Orleans. If you're just there to visit and just hang out and go to the show, stay wherever you want. Because anyone, first of all, if you, anyone who goes to Vegas should rent a car. Because cabs are a fortune. They're hard to get, especially at night. And it's just not reasonable to get around town without some kind of transportation. Plus, if you rent a car, valet parking is free. So any way you go, any hotel. So that's the smart thing. You rent a car. And then what you do is you just drive. You drive to the Orleans Arena when you want to do the Orleans Hall. If you want to go to the press conference, you go to the Orleans. You give the valet your car. It doesn't cost you anything. You want to go to the expo, you drive to the expo. And that's what we did. So if like I said, if I was just going to hang out, I would probably stay at one of the nicer hotels. But for our purposes, I think that the Orleans serves it very well. And I'm actually glad, like I said, that the prices are very reasonable there. So in that respect, I had a good time. A lot of stuff there other than bodybuilding, you know, related stuff. Like I said, you and I gambled a little bit the first night. We went to the after party, which I thought was phenomenal. Phil Heath had an after party that was run. You know, Hani Rambai was there. You know, Gaspari Nutrition had one also at the same exact place. In XS in the Encore Hotel. These parties that I've been to this past year, Hani had one in Hani Rambat had one at the USA Championships at Pure in the Caesar's Palace there, and then Phil's party here were the two best parties I've been to since the Titus days, because it seems like all the bodybuilders have been going to this party, and it was like a cool, you know, hang out with all the guys you kind of know and everyone's kind of laid back and having a few drinks, and I just had a good time at both parties.
Yeah, that is the. I mean, we've talked about it before. What makes a good party at any of these events is when all the people that you know are all in the same place, you know. And if you don't know anybody there, and it's just a bunch of strange people or strangers who are there to come party in Vegas. That really doesn't have any appeal to me. So no. The fact that we did know so many people there was pretty cool.
And girls came out and guys came out. It was like, you know, it was a lot of people there, and everyone is friendly. And I know there's a lot of fans that come too, and they like the fact that the, you know, people like you and me and even the pro guys are very accessible. I know Flex Lewis was there. Phil was there, obviously. A number of other pros came in throughout the night, and
Bill Wilmore. There was
Bill
a lot.
Bill Wilmore was there. I can't even remember everyone, but I remember we had a very good time. Troy Johnson from Gasparri Nutrition was there. With I couldn't believe Chrissy Chin was there, all pregnant, all pregged up, ready to have a kid in what, another month or so.
Darielle wouldn't have wanted to do that, I bet. Not to stay that late.
Yeah, because
she stayed a long time. Chrissy Chin stayed until 5 in the morning.
I don't know how she did it because she couldn't drink or do anything because obviously she's pregnant. So, I mean, she really, really was a trooper. She was sitting down most of the night, but still, that was pretty cool on her part.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like I said, I hope that, you know, in the future we can have more of these parties where everyone goes. It reminds me of the old days. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't partying like a rock star there, but we had a number of drinks and, Phil was very kind, and Hani were kind to give us some of their drinks because they had a bottles at their table, and then Gasparri shared some drinks with us. So, all in all, I like I said, I enjoyed myself. I know PJ Braun had a good time; he was having fun. And when we got back, you know, this is what I missed about the old days when I used to just have no obligations. I love coming back from a party really late and going to eat. And in Vegas, like, everything's open. So we went back to the Orleans. We went to the restaurant there. We sat down at like 4:35 in the morning, and I had a fucking meal. And then I went back to the room and slept. So it was fun. Actually, I went back to the room and edited video, and then I slept. So that's dedication right there.
Yeah, you did good. You came back and edited it. I didn't think that you were going to.
Well, you know, I duty calls. I gotta step up to the plate. But I got a lot of compliments, Aaron, on our wrap-up video that we did. You, Chris, Ruth Silverman, and myself, dressed in our suits, did a very nice wrap-up. It was a 20-minute long wrap-up of the men's open, the 212, and the bikini on that final night. And I think our analysis was top-notch.
I agree. I definitely agree. I got a lot of positive comments also. People really like that. You know, I made a point to not hold anything back. I figured this is the Olympia. You know, I was prepared to disagree.
Well, Chris Aceto was very impressed with you. He said, when you listen to the show, you'll see on his segment, he said that I was very impressed with Aaron's analysis.
Good. Well, that means a lot that you guys liked it, and it definitely means a lot that other people liked it. The truth is that a lot of times, I will not, you know, me and you might disagree on something, and I just let it go because I feel like, you know what, you know, Dave's really the expert or Chris is the expert. Maybe I should just let it go. And this time I decide, you know what, I'm going to give my opinion, even if it may be not the same as you two, or even if it's wrong. And I guess people really like that. They didn't care. Even if they thought I was wrong, they'd rather have me say whatever I believe, even, you know, and disagree.
You know what it is, Aaron? There's no such thing as wrong, because opinions are opinions. I mean, you can look at one competitor and think one thing, and I can look at another and think one thing. If the girl's attractive, I could think she's ugly. So that's the wonderful thing, is there'll be people out there that agree with you, and there'll be people that agree with me, and that's what makes the it entertaining, you know. And I think that we're not afraid to really say how we feel, and that's important, because not everyone thinks that Flex Lewis deserved to win the 212, you know, and not everyone thinks that Phil Heath deserved to win the Open. But, you know, everyone wants to hear opinions so that they can relate. Everyone can relate to someone, and that's the bottom line. I have to admit, and I'm going to be honest, that I actually enjoyed Sunday at the Olympia better than the entire rest of the weekend. The gambling, really?
No,
shows.
We did a lot of fun.
Yeah, you, myself, and PJ Braun decided to go to Old Las Vegas, which is on the North Strip, which is where the Vegas originally originated. That's where all the hotels first were put up. And the Golden Nugget is a good oldie but goodie there, which I didn't realize. I hadn't been there, you know, in 10 years or over 10 years. I think it was almost like 13 years I haven't been there, because when I got married, that's where I went on my honeymoon. A friend of mine had free rooms there, and the Golden Nugget was not the best hotel, but, you know, I didn't have a lot of money back in those days. So you can go stay anywhere in Vegas and just go hang out at the big hotels. And when I went there, the Golden Nugget was like an oldie hotel. Now we came in, we pulled up, and we went in, and I was shocked. They had redone the whole thing. They had crazy pool with a water slide, and fish, the crazy sharks, you know, in the middle of the water slide. It was impressive. And, you know, I enjoyed the day because we had like nothing to do, really. We really just allowed ourselves to have fun, so to speak.
Yep. It was great, and the hotel was very. I just, you know, you think I thought it would be a shithole, and in reality, it was a pretty cool place. The level of people there, like, you go to the Aria, and you could tell it's like rich people. This one wasn't like that. Obviously, there were people were enjoying the deals, but as far as the hotel goes, you loved the fish. They had a big fish tank in the middle.
Well, they had two tanks actually. They had a shark tank with some like basses and stuff like that. That was in the middle of the pool where the water slide kind of went through the middle of the shark thing. It was kind of, I guess they would tell you, it was a takeoff on Atlantis, what they have in the Bahamas there. And then they had another fish tank in the lobby that was enormous too, which they had like reef fish, kind of like what I have in my saltwater tank, which I was fascinated by, of course. And I knew I was playing it up even more because I know you and PJ get a kick out of the fact when I go crazy over fish tanks and stuff like that. So, that was cool. And
I love fish.
The reason we went there to begin with though is because I was told, and I had never done it, that on the old Las Vegas Strip, they have something. I forget what it's called. It's like two blocks together that are, I guess, buttressed over. There's like an overhang over it, almost like a dome over it. And at night, they do a crazy light show and rock and roll show there. And we had been there during the day, but they have a metal, I guess, wire tethered from one end of the strip to the other. And they allow you to go what's called zip lining, where you start about 100 feet up in the air and you sit in this harness, and it kind of just, you zip line all the way from one end of the strip to the other. It's got to be, how many, what would you say, about almost a half mile or something like that?
It's a pretty good distance. It's at least a quarter mile.
Yeah, it's pretty far. And you know me, I have a fear of heights, and you convinced me to do it. Actually, PJ was going to do it with us too, but it was a 250-pound weight limit, of which PJ just exceeded by 1 pound, and Aaron, I think you just deceded by 1 pound, right?
No, I was literally exactly 250 pounds on the dot.
Yeah, you made it. So thank God, because I wouldn't have done it if you didn't do it. I would never have done it.
Thank God for Las Vegas, or otherwise I would have been over that by quite a bit. So.
You probably lost weight from the whole weekend, exactly.
Of course. So, I'm sure everybody did. And you said you did too.
I lost 10 pounds, yeah. Yeah, I lost 10 pounds.
Yeah, so that's what Vegas does to you. Vegas drives me out so much that when I am, by the end of the trip, whether it be the Olympia or the USA's, my whole face is dried out. My lips, my eyes, my inside my nose is all dried out.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I forget, Troy Johnson had a bloody nose because it was so dry. He had it all over his shirt. He had blood. I'm like, what's going on, Troy? He's like, it's dry air, you know? Anyway, so we get to this thing. We purchased the zip lining, I guess, pass, you could say. We signed the 800 releases, which was making me a nervous wreck because, you know, you're basically signing your life away to these guys. And then
the whole time I'm saying, oh, not that many people die on this, Dave. It's okay. And you got a pretty good chance of surviving. Yeah.
Well, I knew you were fucking with me at that point. I knew what I had to be afraid of. It wasn't what anyone was telling me. It was the actual height of the thing. And then I realized as we were going up the elevator, because that's how tall this lift is that you have to get up to start where you get onto the zip line. I said to myself, you know what? I'm such a control freak. I'm just going to let go. I'm going to allow whatever happens. It's not like, it wasn't like you said, a crazy drop, or it wasn't a ride or anything. It was kind of like just chilling on a wire, you know, for like a mile or a quarter of a mile. And it does pick up some considerable speed, but it's not like there's no loop-de-loops or anything like that. And I actually enjoyed it. Even halfway through it, I was enjoying it. And I actually wished I wasn't so nervous. And I wanted to kind of do it again, but I know we were running out of time. So if any of you guys ever go to Las Vegas, you got to check out the North Strip and go zip lining right by the Golden Nugget Hotel there. It's
and we got some great pictures, too. Absolutely. Really cool pictures that I got.
Absolutely. And you bought a very nice gift at my behest for your son, Asher. You got a little sign that said Asher's Room with the Cookie Monster on it, which I liked a lot.
Yeah.
And we took pictures with Elvis and Robert De Niro on the strip there.
Yeah.
Fake Robert De Niro and fake Elvis, of course.
Of course.
For those of you who don't know that Elvis is no longer alive, you know, some people might have assumed that we found Elvis, but we didn't. And, I told Chris that, you know, I was so traumatized, my nervous system, by the zip lining adventure there that we did, that I actually had to have a couple shots with you at the bar. Actually, we had one shot, which was about the equivalent of three shots, the way the bartender, you know, and that actually leveled me out a little bit, I got to tell you.
It definitely seemed to help you because you were shaking before the shot. After the shot, you seemed to calm down a little bit.
Mm, yeah, so it was good. I had a very good time. I wanted to just say that I enjoyed. And then we went for all-you-can-eat sushi after. So it was really a fun day for Sunday for us.
It was a really good day. And, you know, and it wasn't, we, you know, we weren't really rushed around anywhere. We weren't leaving that early. You know, you were leaving at like 9 or 10. I left at midnight. So it wasn't like a lot of times where we leave and it'll be, you know, we'll have to rush to the airport. So we like, you know, if you want to do anything fun, you got to like get up and go and do it. And you know, a lot of times we don't end up doing it because of that.
Right. And I want to thank Johnny Styles for following us around the whole day on Sunday and videotaping the whole thing and taking pictures, because I know he's going to edit all that together. And so you guys out there are probably wondering what we did. You probably might get a little... or get a nice version of on video what we did. We kind of documented everything that went on. So I think it's even better than what we're telling you. So hopefully Johnny will get that to us in another week or so when we get back from India. I forgot to mention Friday night, I actually met with Chris Angel, my client, and his new buddy, Louis Anderson, comedian Louis Anderson, who weighs 400 pounds now, Aaron, and he is looking to lose weight. And they want me to help them lose weight on some kind of a reality show type of situation. And I met with the two of them at the Luxor Theater before Chris had his 9:30 show. And I was actually going to go to dinner with them, but we had to be at the I had to be back for the women's show and the men's prejudging. And Louis is a great guy. I never met him, and you know, a real down to earth guy. I think it might work out well. I'm hoping that, you know, we can that I can work with him. And it's sad because, you know, he's such a popular comedian. You know, he lives in a hotel in Vegas and just eats room service all the time. And you know, it's not that he eats the wrong foods at the wrong time of day. And it's sad because he's going to be 60 years old, and I don't want to see the guy have a heart attack and drop dead. So Chris Angel, you know, realized that that's also a danger to his life, and he got me involved, and I'm hoping that we could get this guy to lose weight, and people can watch it on TV. It'll be pretty exciting because, you know, he's a funny dude.
Yep, absolutely. I would have liked to met Louis. I've watched a lot of his stuff before.
I'm sure if this all comes down, you'll get to meet him, and hopefully you get us involved. You know, I think the good thing about it, a reality show with a comedian, is they want a lot of comedy involved in it. And for certain, we have a lot of comedy among our ranks in the RX Muscle family here. So we could it could turn into something that might incorporate the RX Muscle family, and that might be something fun. You never know down the road.
Absolutely.
We'll have to see. And of course, we are
a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, and of course, we're going to India. Come tomorrow night, we'll be leaving, and that's an exciting thing because in India, you know, all the rules change. You know, you had pointed out to me that like people act differently when they're in another country. All the I guess phoniness kind of disappears. Is that right?
Well, no. You could say that all the phoniness appears. Oh, I don't
appears.
Know. It depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess it depends on how you look at it. You'll notice that. That a lot of the people, a lot of the like little bullshit feuds that we have, or the athletes that don't like you or something, a lot of that seems to disappear when you put people in a group in an uncomfortable, unfamiliar environment. And and that's something that I definitely noticed last year. Unfortunately, when you get home, sometimes those relationships, you know, end. They kind of discontinue, you know, once you get back home. But India is going to be an adventure, Dave. This will be... Is I mean, you've been a lot of places all over the world, but I don't think you've been any place like this before, and it will truly be an adventure. I can promise you that.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to, actually, you know, I wasn't looking forward to it's 14 and a half hours. It is a direct flight. That's comforting at one point. But I think that you and I will get a lot of good content on the plane because we're creative, and there's going to be a lot of competitors on the plane with us. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of interviews, and maybe we'll you know, we should make up like some kind of a game show or something like that, like a quiz show or something like that, and walk around and ask people and see. You know how they do kind of like on Howard Stern, they ask questions like who's the president and who's the vice president. We should see how smart the bodybuilding community is and see who, you know, even if we can't videotape everything because people are exclusive, we should find out who knows what they're talking about and who doesn't. I think that you and I should, for the first hour of the flight, come up with a bunch of questions, and then we're going to go around and we're going to ask people the questions and see who's smart.
Well,
and who's not.
We're going to have the video camera. We're going to have our laptops. We're going to be able to entertain ourselves and possibly some of the other people on the plane. You know, I like to do like a tour of the plane. We did that last time, so you kind of like see who's on our plane.
Yeah.
We can show that to people. We can ask the questions. It's always interesting to interview the staff on the plane, you know, asking the craziest stuff that's happened on the plane. Because it's an international flight. When you're flying over the water and stuff, you can't really do anything. You know, if some crazy shit happens, they got to deal with it.
Right. I think that more important, I want to see what the bodybuilder's fitness figure, bikini, whatever it was ever going to be. I want to know what these people know. I think that our community wants to know.
You want to do a quiz show. I like the idea of a quiz show.
Yeah. I want to walk around and I want to have a list of like 30 questions.
The problem, Dave, this is the problem is we're going to only be able to do the girls, no guys.
Well, we could do the guys because we don't have to, we just can't videotape them. We could still get their answers to things to see if they, you know, with these people, we're allowed to talk to them. We're just not allowed to interview them. That's all. So I want to see who knows what, and we can report on our own. You know, we don't need them to say what they know. I'll just find out if they answer the question right. And we should have like maybe the 10 or 15 questions we should do. Yeah, 10 questions is enough. 10 of questions that we think that something people should know about, you know, the world that we live in. Maybe even people who are listening to the show can submit questions and we can get it tomorrow before we leave if there's some good ones. And I will ask every person on our plane, all the people in the show, and we'll see who knows. Because I guarantee we'll find out that there's people who are smarter than we thought. And then we're going to find out that there were people that we thought were smart that aren't that smart, you know?
Yeah, I've kind of got a little bit of a list of who's going to be on our flight. You know, I've assembled a little bit of a list. We got some of the guys. Jose Raymond will be on our flight.
Okay.
Amit Sapir will be on our flight.
Yeah, he probably knows Israeli trivia.
Yeah, Aaron Stern will be on our flight. I could ask him Jewish trivia.
Sure.
Aaron Stern will be on our flight. Also Jewish trivia. Who else? I talked to a lot of people. Now I'm forgetting.
I know Candace King is going to be on our flight.
No, she's a Wednesday flight.
Oh, she's a Wednesday flight. Oh, how come we're going on Tuesday and we're not even in the show?
See, this is the thing, is that there's so many flights that this is one of the things that's a little confusing, is because, look, last year, everybody who went flew into Newark and flew out together on Wednesday.
Right.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. 6:30 on Wednesday, everybody flew out.
Right.
This year, we've got flights going out of California. So we've got West Coast flights who are going from California, I think, to Germany, and from Germany to India. I guess it's cheaper. And then we've got people going from their location on Wednesday to Chicago and from Chicago to India. And then we're going on the standard Newark flight, but we're flying Newark Tuesday. We have another flight going out Newark Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's four flights going out to India at different times and locations, gotcha. Which is very different than last year.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the India trip. I was negative about it, but now that it's upon us, I'm feeling very good about the whole experience. I think we're going to have a good time. I'm going to...
Why? Can I ask you why? What's the big change? Like, what is... You were nervous about
it. I wasn't scared at all. What it was the anticipation of the aggravation of the whole thing, of getting ready to go. But since we're kind of in the midst of it, I'm already packed from Vegas anyway. I'm just redoing my clothes. I'm at this point, I'm like, I've surrendered. I'm ready to do it. I'm going to absorb it. You know what? I enjoyed this weekend in Vegas so much so, and it was so relaxing for me, even though I still have a lot of video to edit, that I'm actually looking forward to India, because I feel like it's going to be another relaxing vacation. So it's like a two-week vacation.
Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you about that.
Yeah.
I agree with you about how it was in Las Vegas at the Olympia this time. And I actually wrote that on Facebook, that I was writing something about like coming home from Las Vegas. Right. And I actually wrote on there that this Las Vegas trip was surprisingly relaxed and enjoyable compared to past Olympias, where I felt were like chaotic and rushed. And like when I left, I was like, oh my God, thank God this is over.
Right.
What's the difference? Why are we not feeling like that this
time? Well, the difference for you is because you didn't do anything this past weekend.
I did a different job.
We had more people here, and that's I wanted, like, once again, we had Johnny Styles here helping us with the video. We had Morgan Pagel here helping us with the video. Sally was here. Brian was there doing the strong. So we had a better staff.
By the way, it is not fair to say I did nothing. And some people might say I did the most if you look at it this way.
No, nothing, I mean you didn't have as many like video editing deals to do. You didn't have to like write articles. You kind of were there more to do advertising and be a presence, you know, and celebrity, as opposed to being a workhorse like in the past.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I edited one night only. Yeah. No, I edited two nights. I edited video two nights.
One night,
but mostly you're right. Mostly I did stuff and I think that really is going to pay off. So that's why I said some people might, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But yeah, you're right. How about you then? Tell me about you, because you worked a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but I still have a lot of video to edit. I think the party relaxed me. Sunday that I didn't do anything relaxed me. And now I'm a little stressed, but you know what? Like I said, we have a big plane ride. I probably can do a lot of putting up a lot of video on there. Hopefully we'll have Wi-Fi on there and it shouldn't be too bad. I know we have a nice big 777 flight, or 777, I guess it's called, plane. It's a gigantic jumbo jet. Yeah, it says 777.
I was We are just literally just too late. They were introducing in United, it was just released or unveiled today. And on the, I think the 8th or the 10th or something. What is the date? I could look it up. But anyway, coming up in October, it'll start doing the international flights to India. So it would be great to get on there. That's called the Dreamliner, which is the newest, biggest, fanciest plane in the world.
Maybe next year we'll get on that.
Yeah, maybe next year we'll get on that. So I know if we go to London next year, they definitely fly from New York to London, so that would be cool.
All right, well, I'm ready to go. I'm getting ready to pack. I got to go to the gym. I know you got stuff to do. Let's call it a day. You know, we're not going to have any guests on today because this is like a last minute thing, you know, but the radio show is important. I wanted you guys to see what we did this weekend and what went on. Expect a lot of great coverage from New Delhi, India, and from over the Atlantic Ocean as we're flying. I'd like to thank you personally, Aaron, and Chris Aceto for a great weekend with great coverage. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.